Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Vamping through a routine of flips, axles, and spins, and wearing a pink-ribboned corset with sparkles, American figure skater Johnny Weir was left in sixth place after last night's first round, skating to this song, I Love You, I Hate You. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and ahead today, love it or hate it, music's role in Olympic figure skating. And later, the Spanish band Canteca de Macau performs live. But we begin with the most popular sport at the Vancouver Olympics. The music for figure skating has evolved over time as new technology and judging rules shape what's appropriate. But at the same time, the tried and true remains. Lots of Russian ballet music, Spanish-themed classical works, and the occasional film score still rule the ice. In a recent column, Washington Post chief classical music critic Anne Majette said the quality of that music is variable. She joins us on the line. Hi, Anne.
Hi, John. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us, Robin Wagner, a figure skating coach. She led Sarah Hughes to a gold medal in 2002 and has also coached Sasha Cohen and Sylvia Fontana. Robin, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And let me start with you. In your article, you say that in the past, at least, the music, at least as music, has been kind of a mess. Why?
Well, in the past, I think, and Robin can confirm me on this, you've got people putting together a lot of small snippets of music to create a kind of collage that would bring out the emotional highlights that you wanted. So it seemed to me that when I was watching skating in the 1980s, you heard lots more sort of choppy, abrupt transitions, and that now there's a little more emphasis on getting one piece that sort of does it all. At the same time, you've got to cut the thing down to 4 minutes, and you're dealing with people who don't know a lot of music, and as a result, there's a certain repetition, a kind of, as you said, repertory everybody seems to stick to, and a lot of recourse to the tried and true.
So do you think it's less of a mess now?
Well, I think it's less of a mess to listen to in that you don't have quite the abrupt shift, but you have just as many tacky arrangements as you ever had, and you may have slightly more film scores and Phantom of the Opera and things like that than you used to have. I think the film score, I mean, there's a whole other discussion to be had about the merits of film soundtracks and that there's a lot of excellent film soundtrack music out there before I get millions of calls from your soundtrack-loving listeners.
Robin, does that sound, I mean, has your experience with music in the figure skating world been sort of similar to what Anne's saying?
Well, I completely agree with Anne, but I think where you have to step back and participate in the process, it's quite a bit harder to choose something that's fresh and original and then put it together to match the timing that's necessary. We have very specific rules about how much time the skaters are allowed to skate. And then you're also dealing with your skater and a coach. You know, there's so many people involved that it's not just so easy to listen to a brilliant piece of music and say, yes, this is what we're putting on the ice.
Well, who makes that decision, Robin? Is that you? Is it, I mean, when you're working with a Sasha Cohen or a Sarah Hughes, these are young ladies who have their own minds and their own thoughts and presumably their own record collections.
Well, it certainly depends on the skater and their age, of course, and experience. Sarah was quite young and therefore usually left it up to me to look for the music, decide what I thought fit her style the best, to think about how I wanted to develop her throughout the year. Of course, I would never force a piece of music on a skater that they didn't feel comfortable with and love. You don't forget, you as an audience or a judge will hear the music, you know, once or twice, at the most 5 times a year as a skater goes through their season. But the skater and the coach and the choreographer are listening thousands and thousands of times, and the skater has got to love that piece of music, and feel like it's their best friend. Mm-hmm. Someone like a Sasha Cohen was much more strong in her opinion about what she wanted to skate to. She knew what she felt comfortable with, and therefore she was, you know, prominent in choosing what music she was going to use.
Now, do you have to be concerned with what the judges are expecting? Do you have to try and figure out what are they likely to enjoy hearing?
Absolutely. That's a major factor, and particularly in an Olympic year, we as coaches, choreographers, musicians, the people that put our music together, are extremely aware of a different type of audience than we might have other seasons. You're getting an audience that may not always follow figure skating. They want to follow the Olympic season, so they're not used to hearing the music that skaters might choose throughout the year. They may not go to the ballet. They may not go to the orchestra. And the same is true of judges. You know, as much skating as they watch, we've got to keep in mind that there's a very short period of time, just a few seconds, where they've got to connect with the music. They've got to understand the music so that they can then focus on the skating and concentrate on judging the skater. If the music's pulling them away, if they don't understand it, if they're not comfortable with that, then we run into trouble with the marks.
Speaking of the marks, Anne, have you noticed, a change in the judging system where, the role of music might be having either more or less of an effect on the scores?
Well, Robin could speak to this better than I can. There was a huge overhaul of the judging rules between, 2002? And that's affected tremendously the way that programs are put together, and there's a lot more emphasis on individual technical elements, but there's still some marks are given for choreography and interpretation. But I believe that that's affected the way people are thinking about their programs and conceiving them. I would add to what Robin said. I remember being struck years ago when the Czech pair, and I think the 88 Olympics, skated to Schubert's Unfinished Symphony, and the announcers were making a big deal out of how this difficult music probably hadn't helped them with the judges. And I was sitting there going, what's not to like?
Well, the one that sticks in my mind, I think this was in the Lillehammer Games, what was that, 94, was Elvis Stoiko. I mean, this is sort of a famous thing, Robin, I assume, in figure skating circles, where he not only incorporated martial arts movements into his routine, but skated to a Bruce Lee soundtrack. And, there was a huge hullabaloo. I mean, this is, I guess, part of the fun of figure skating. It's always something to complain about. But people saying that the Russian judge made sure the Russian skater got the gold and Stoiko was left holding the silver. Have things changed since then, or do we still have the music really impacting the way judges will score the top skaters?
First, let me step back. I don't necessarily agree that the reason Stoiko might have not gotten the medal he was looking for was necessarily because of the music. You know, many skaters feel very strongly, regardless of what the result might be, to what they're going to skate to. And Elvis knew that. He knew that there might be a chance that this was not the music that was going to grab the hearts of some of the European judges, the Eastern European judges. You know, don't forget, we're also talking about different cultures that we have to think about. What's appealing to an American judge may not be as appealing to a Russian judge. You know, that even runs over into costumes. So that's why I think Elvis knew what he was doing when he made that decision, but it was something he felt strongly about. He felt that his performance, the movements that he put to that music, that he choreographed to that music, would overshine and come, you know, be stronger than maybe some of the discomfort that a judge might feel with his choice in music.
Anne?
I was just going to break in and say, didn't it also reflect that Elvis Stoiko was a very different kind of skater? And this is an age-old discussion in skating about whether you prioritize the artistic and balletic or the athletic. And Elvis Stoiko was definitely a more athletic skater, as I remember. And that's always been a question in pairs as well, where the Russians dominated for so long with this wonderful balletic sort of choreography. And it's gone back and forth depending on the different skaters in the games.
Absolutely. And I think that's another thing. I mean, I think the most crucial thing that a coach, choreographer, you know, anybody working on that team has to think about when choosing this music is, what does my skater look like? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? You could not have Elvis Stoiko skating to a beautiful piece of Rachmaninoff. I mean, that just wasn't his style. That would completely fail for him. So I think, again, as I said right in the beginning, there are so many considerations that have to be made in coming coming to this, you know, what I call the canvas for the skater at the beginning of the season. I don't think the general audience realizes how much time is spent listening to music, choosing the music, thinking about the vision of the skater, and then how does that appeal to the audience, to the judges, and then the next layer, of course, and I'm not saying this in order of importance, but is how will this reflect the choreography, and how will my skater get marked in the end?
All right. Well, we're talking about how music fits into figure skating, and we're speaking with Anne Majette, the chief classical music critic of the Washington Post, and with figure skating coach Robin Wagner, who will be running off to Vancouver at the end of the week. She's currently coaching the Georgian skater, Elena Gedevanishvili. Did I say that right?
Very good. Excellent.
We're halfway through the men's figure skating program. And last night, let's hear the music that the top three skaters worked to. In first place currently, from Russia, Yevgeny Plushenko skating to music by Joaquin Rodrigo. Rodrigo's most famous piece, the Concierto de Aranjuez. And in second place after last night's first round was the American Evan Lisicek, and he skated, ironically, to Russian music, the Firebird Suite by Stravinsky. How it sounded on TV last night. Evan Lisicek, the American skater, at second place. In third place, from Japan, Daisuke Takahashi, performing to this music by Koba.
Like most of the men tonight, first three elements, all jumping elements. First one, the combination, triple-triple, flip into toe loop.
So he was left in third place, Takahashi was, the only one of the three not skating to something classical. And we're, again, talking about the role of music in figure skating. And Robin, you said something interesting before we heard our little triple there, which was the music and the choreography. It sounded from what you were saying like the music actually drives the choreography of the skater. Don't you have to have some of the choreography sort of dictated by the competition before you even begin looking at music?
Well, that's absolutely true, particularly in the short program. You know, we look at developing the short program in a very different way from the long, because the short program is essentially get those eight elements out there, and the music, the rhythm of the music, the feel of the music has to be really comfortable for the skater. You know, if someone like, if you notice, and I know you can play the complete piece, but Lisicek's music, the Firebird, the first segment of the program is a little bit slower, a little bit longer. The notes are longer, the phrasing's longer, which allows him to complete the difficult elements without rushing. You know, he's a very, as you know, 6 foot two and even taller on the ice, very long-limbed, exquisite skater, long lines. There's not a pus. I don't think he'd be as comfortable skating to the last piece of Firebird, which you just played, performing his jumps to that piece of music. So therefore, the way that music was constructed was for him to be able to get comfortable, get the major jumping passes out there in the beginning, and then the fire, the emotion on the footwork, on the spins, you know, it allows Evan's personality to come right out. And it fit him beautifully, and it really made the program work.
So from a purely practical point of view, when fatigue begins to set in, then you've got this kind of burst of energy from the faster music. You've got most of your jumping thing out of the way? That's the kind of choreographing decisions that are made by Lysacek and his coach.
Absolutely, I would think. And also in terms of, you know, you want to get that audience up on their feet. You know, there's the second mark, the component scores, which are made up of five different marks, which are the, we'll call them the artistic components. You know, emotion is involved, interpretation is involved, the choreography is involved there. So by having a great piece of music, which Evan can really allow his personality to come out and the energy to come out, is particularly important in that short program on the footwork sequence, because it really gives a very good base and foundation for him to build his choreography on.
All right, we've got a number of interesting comments coming in from our Soundcheck listeners, and to our Soundcheck audience, if you have a question about the music, the role of music in figure skating, if you have a comment, if you have a favorite or a least favorite kind of music in figure skating, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. And actually, before I get to comments, Anne, is this a good thing for classical music that every 4 years we get a steady dose, even if it's just a bit of Carmen, a bit of Bolero, a bit of the Firebird?
Well, the theme that I think runs through figure skating for classical music lovers is the idea of a missed opportunity. And when I wrote this piece last Sunday, I got more mail to that effect of why on earth can't there be slightly better music? Why does it always have to be Carmen? But as Robin indicated, there are a lot of different factors that go into it. One thing that made me happy about the men's program last night is the idea that the music did reflect things about the skaters that I didn't get from the pairs quite the same way, for example. And I think that if it's good for classical music, it would be because somebody really connects with the music. The risk of having classical music is that it just becomes pretty generic background music, as opposed to the more interesting stuff where you see a skater actually connect, which is less often classical than something more contemporary.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sort of brings me to one quick comment I want to get to before the break. Jeb from Greenpoint writes, when did skaters begin performing to music? Did they ever perform to live music? And a second question, has anyone considered skating might be more interesting without music, minus the borrowed emotion of music? Robin, has that ever been done?
You know, to be quite honest with you, I don't know about the live performance in the past. I do know that some of the professional skaters, you know, when they've done some of these televised programs, have had the opportunity to skate with a live audience and have said it is absolutely an amazing experience.
You mean with live music?
Yes, they say it's like nothing else. Of course, it's would be quite expensive to bring in an orchestra, and the orchestra would have to know everybody's music. I don't think
right.
It's feasible. So, unfortunately, I don't think we can go there. And I'm sorry, what was the second question?
Well, the idea of might skating be more interesting sans music, you know, without borrowing emotion from pre-recorded music, but generating its own emotion out there on the ice.
I don't think so. I think maybe if we had a separate sort of jumping competition, you know, just based on technical expertise, that might be fine. But I think music is just far too important to a crucial part of our sport, which is the artistry.
Well, there used to be a component of the competition that was without music because there used to be actual figures until the 70s or even the 80s. Wasn't that true? That
good point. Absolutely, yes.
That was the part that no one watched.
That's right. You just answered your own question. Yes. Unfortunately.
Yeah, the compulsories where the figure skaters would actually have to trace a circle and then a figure eight in the ice very, very slowly.
But when I was doing research for my story, I talked to Alexander Goldstein, who does music for some of the skaters. And he said that when he was in Russia, he worked with the rhythmic gymnasts in Russia, where they did have a live piano for a long time, and transitioning to tape from live was very difficult for them. And I thought that was pretty striking that any sport had ever used live music.
Well, when we continue in a moment, we can talk about things like adding a techno beat to Mussorgsky, which we saw and heard last night, and some other unusual adventures in musical arranging as we continue our look at music in figure skating. Bizet's Carmen, an old standby in the figure skating world, and we'll take some calls and more comments as we continue. And then later, the Spanish band Canteca de Macau brings a touch of spectacle of its own to performing music. There's some juggling involved. They'll play live for us in a little while on Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
You just know that when these skaters get home at night, they're listening to Jay-Z or Lady Gaga. So why don't they perform to the music they know and love? Because history has repeatedly shown that if there is a target audience for mainstream classical music, it's that figure skating judge demographic.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Is Mussorgsky rolling over in his grave or doing a triple axle? I don't know. But last night in men's figure skating, Kevin Vanderparen of Belgium donned a skeleton costume and skated his routine to Mussorgsky's Night on Bald Mountain, techno style. I'm John Schaefer, and we're back on Soundcheck talking about music and figure skating. And joining us are Robin Wagner, the figure skating coach who led Sarah Hughes to a gold medal in 2002. And has worked with Sacha Cohen and Sylvia Fontana, among others, and Anne Majette, the chief classical music critic of the Washington Post. And Soundcheck listeners, what do you think of music in figure skating? What would you like to hear that's not there? What have you heard too much of? You can call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. And Anne, before we get to comments and stuff, before we get too far from the Belgian skaters' routine last night, even before the techno beat came in, there were some noticeable edits in the score, which I guess is kind of what you were originally writing about last week to begin with. How common is that still these days?
Wildly common, and you hear all kinds of beats added to music, and you've heard that ever since the beginning. In the piece I did last week, I was talking to Audrey Weisinger, who was the coach of Michael Weiss, who was describing adding a cello and clarinet, I think, to Beethoven's Pathétique to give a little more muscle to it for the slow section of Michael Weiss's program, and her arranger saying Beethoven would be spinning in his grave. But it is, after all, functional music.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to take a lot of liberties. In the pairs competition, which begins on Friday, I believe, ice dancing competition, there is an arrangement of the Adagietto from Mahler's Fifth, which is actually not given a techno beat, but it's cut down to 4.5 minutes or whatever. No, it's a short program. It's shorter, 4 minutes. Anyway, that represents quite a thing to do to Mahler's score.
Well, now, ice dancing is different from figure skating.
Yeah.
For one thing, you can have words. I mean, you can actually have singing in ice dancing, which
you will hear Sumi Joe in one of the pairs is
the great soprano. Yes.
What
about, I mean, Robin, how do you get around that, the fact that there's no you're not allowed to have any singing, you know?
By listening to a lot of classical music, actually.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of conversation about it. I think it's been wonderful for dance. It's opened up a whole world for them. But on the same token, I don't think at this point it's necessarily the right thing for the single skaters to be using. It's still a competition. It's still an athletic endeavor. And I think it's certainly wonderful that when you see the skaters in exhibition, they have a great deal of freedom. And I think that's the place that they're just allowed to go a little bit wild and experiment with music that they can't use in a competitive atmosphere.
All right, let me read this comment from Jackie in the East Village. My favorite was the Japanese skater skating to Hendrix. I was surprised he didn't score higher. Do your guests think choice of music had something to do with it? Anne, you first.
I don't think choice of music had anything to do with it, but I thought it was fantastic that he skated to Hendrix.
Robin?
Yes, was that Kazuko that skated to that?
No, I don't know.
I don't want to comment. I imagine if it was the third skater, then it was. You know, I think, again, I think it is wonderful that there are skaters that are expanding the repertoire and trying new things. But, again, so important that the music fit the style of the skater and fit the requirements that the judges are looking for and are judging. I'll just go back to Kevin Van De Perren because I was thinking about his music. And he's always done something a little bit further out than maybe what some of the other skaters might use. He's always experimenting, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But, again, in terms of that short program where judges are looking for edge quality, depth of edge, upper body position, things like that. That techno music, I just don't think allows him to get that quality out there as well as maybe a more classical piece of music. And I think, unfortunately, like the Jimi Hendrix piece, and if I'm right, and I hope I am commenting on this, Kazuko is...
It was Kazuko.
He is absolutely exquisite. Uses his edges. He's got an exquisite quality on the ice that I don't necessarily think would fit the Hendrix music. You know, again, I don't know him. It's hard to comment on that. When you're choosing music, again, a coach, a choreographer may have a vision of developing a skater. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I don't know what they had in mind, you know, when they chose the music for him. But I think he is someone in particular that could really do with a beautiful piece of flowing music with a lovely theme to it.
Well, isn't it true that they want a certain amount of contrast between the short program and the free skate? Because certainly you see that quite a bit.
Yes, and I think a lot of that, Anne, is done really for the skater, to be honest with you. You know, just to give them some variety. I think it's very hard through an entire season. I mean, you're working on these programs for 8 months to always be doing the same thing. So I think you will see differentials in the type of music that a skater chooses for their short and long. Number one, for themselves, uh-huh. And number two, again, because of those requirements. You have a little bit more freedom in that long program to develop a story, to use your transitions that you don't necessarily, you know, feel in that short program. That short program is get it out there, nail those elements, and, you know, allow a little bit more freedom to come through in the long program.
Well, there is an element of narrative that people pick up on, too, and it's not just the film soundtracks. I know the Swiss skater last night skated to the William Tell overture in a sort of Swiss outfit, and we know that every female skater apparently wants to be Carmen and lives to be Carmen on ice.
Robin, does that include your skater, Elena
Gedevanishvili? I knew this was going to get brought up, and I'm going to defend this decision, yes. And, you know, Elena will be skating to Carmen this year. And I'll tell you just very briefly how we came to that decision. First of all, I just started with Elena last year, so I didn't have a lot of time to say... to have spent with her and seeing how can I develop her throughout a few seasons. You know, this process usually starts way back when you'll have a skater, you have a four-year period of time where you can say, okay, this year I want to see, you know, A happen, next year I want to see B happen. I really had to go with something that I knew she would feel comfortable with, and we had a long talk about it because I always choose to try to look for something a little bit different. And, you know, she said to me, I would love to skate to Carmen. I've never been allowed to. I really want to. So that was certainly one consideration.
That makes it easy, doesn't
well,
it?
That's what your
skater wants to do.
That helps. That helps. But then I also had to think about her style of skating and who she is on the ice. She is a fiery personality. She's got a lot of charisma on the ice. And I thought she could be a very wonderful Carmen and be comfortable being a good Carmen. So that was another consideration. What I did try to do was not pick the usual, pieces of music that we are accustomed to hearing. She actually starts out with a slower piece of music, and we've changed the story a little bit. We're not going with the Carmen story where Carmen, you know, gets killed at the end, but rather she starts in her death position, and it's basically a story of coming to life, being a strong woman, and at the end she picks up the knife and holds it up, and it's her saying, you know, this time I will not be had.
Okay,
well, a strong woman.
We'll see how that all works out because the women skate this weekend, right?
They start on next Tuesday.
Program. And you're heading out there this weekend.
We're leaving on Friday, yes.
All right, that'll be Elena Gedevanishvili from Georgia. She's being coached by Robin Wagner, who's on the line with us. And also on the line with us, Karen from Bloomington, Indiana. Karen, what do you think of all this classical music with the ice skating?
Well, first, let me say I'm so happy that you're talking about this because this has been on my mind now for days. And I think that on occasion, a skater will connect with their classical music and it informs their energy in a wonderful way. But I look forward to a day when perhaps the judges won't seem so biased toward the classical music, so that we can see a little more personality and a little more energy. Because when they don't seem to connect to the music, then it's just like watching, like you said, you could just have a jump competition without any music. Then the music seems almost superfluous or just disconnected. So I would like to see a change up, a modernization in that respect.
Well, and as Anne Majet had said before, you know, in the classical music world, the sense of a missed opportunity. You got hundreds of millions of people listening to this classical music. Sarah Hughes skated to this music by Ravel from the Daphnis and Chloe suite. We're going to have to leave it there, but Anne Majet, chief classical music critic of the Washington Post, Robin Wagner, figure skating coach, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
And Robin, good luck to you and Elena next week at the Olympics.
Thank you.
Still to come, after all this talk about winter sports, we turn up the heat as Spanish band Canteca de Macao plays live in our studio next on Soundcheck.